Colossians. Now we're going to talk about peace today. Verse 15 of chapter 3. Peace is freedom from disturbance, freedom from agitation. It's quietness, it's contentment. It's harmony with your fellow man. This verse is let. That's the very key. You let it. We have a free will. We can be mad if we want to. Let the peace of God, the quietness of God, the contentment of God, the freedom from agitation, rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule is a weird word, umpire. Now, I don't know what an umpire meant in that century, that millennia time. I have no idea. I'm sure our concept of umpire is not theirs, but an umpire is one who makes the decision. So peace is our decision maker. If we're in the will of God, we're in the plan of God, we're at peace. Peace is a decision maker. It doesn't X out the turmoil that may surround us, but we're not listening to the turmoil because we have meditated. We have something on the inside that causes us to have great peace. It's trust in God. I was on Thursday praying for government, going down my scripture sheet, and I heard in the spirit, peace is the compass. That's what caused me to turn my heart in this direction for Monday. Peace is the compass. Now, the Lord knowing I'm not a sports fan, if I never saw another game, I don't care. I don't care that you are. It's okay for us to be different. We tend to compare everybody with ourselves, and if we're not all alike, then you're wrong. And that's not true. I'm not a sports fan. My daddy was a sports fan. My brother and sister both sports fan. It just escaped me. Wayne's not a sports fan. The word umpire doesn't have any big significance to me, but a compass, understand. And the Lord knew that. See, he personalizes the word of God. He puts it out in a form where you can digest it, where you can see it, where you can understand. Peace is a compass. A compass tells a direction. Now, years ago, there was a joke going around. I don't think it was truth, but there was a compass called the Tate's compass. And this man had a Tate's compass, and he was out in the woods and using it for direction, north, south, east, west. See, the compass points a direction. It keeps you on the right path. Peace keeps you on the right path. If you're disturbed, if you're agitated, you need to stop and say, now, why is this? You need to check your decision. We have a lot of decisions about our doctors and our medicines and our surgeries and our insurance and our house payment. You have decisions to make about your children and your grandchildren, for those who have influence over your grandchildren. And so this man got lost. He got really lost. He had a compass, but he got lost. Well, eventually over time, the search parties found him, and they said, man, you shouldn't be out in this thick woods without a compass. He said, I had a compass. I got a brand new Tate's. He said, oh, didn't you hear? They've been taken off the market. They're not accurate. Now, the only accurate compass we have in life is the Word and the Spirit. And only by the Word and the Spirit are we going to get where we're going. And if we're in the Word and walking by the Spirit, we're going to have peace, because peace is the side effect. I'm going to show you that over and over and over again. Peace is a side effect of allowing the Word to dominate your mind and your behavior. Peace, quietness, contentment. Now look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, this is his final sermons before being crucified. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And that word my is so significant. My peace, the same peace that Jesus had, we have access to. He said, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Now, the world's peace depends upon circumstances. I have enough money. I feel well. My children are doing the right thing. My car's working great. I love my job or my volunteer service. Peace depends on circumstances, but peace in God doesn't depend upon circumstances. It can look difficult circumstances right in the face and be perfectly at peace because there's someone on the inside that dictates that we're in the right path. We've made the right decision. I've had medical procedures and been so at peace, it was like the flat line on the heart monitor. You know, it goes up and down, and suddenly the person dies, and it just goes, and that's the way my whole being was. It was just like, I had such supernatural peace, and I know I had done the right thing. You know, I tend to harass my doctor. And I don't mean to. It's just that we're not on the same page always, and I'm walking with God. Amen. And I'm judging by what I have on the inside, what steps I'm going to take, where I'm going to be, and what I'm going to do, and what I'm going to agree to. But when peace comes, I mean, you are A-OK. doesn't mean the wind's not blowing in your face. It doesn't mean it's not raining hard. It doesn't mean that suddenly you have enough money. It just means you have the assurance that you trust in God. You have the assurance. You have Jesus' peace, the peace that He gave. Now, the way you got that was through being a new creature. If everybody be in Christ, He's a new creature. You're a spirit being. Now, look at Galatians chapter 3. You're a spirit being living in a physical body. And we're allowing the spirit man who's listening to the Holy Spirit to guide our behavior, to guide our actions. Galatians chapter 5 it is. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit. Walk is how you live, how you conduct yourself, how you get around. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I let my flesh dictate, if I'm waiting for my flesh to be in agreement with my circumstances, I'm going to be greatly disturbed and distressed. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to bring the Word of God to me and allowing the Word of Spirit to work together in the human spirit. Now, when we come down to the fruit of the Spirit, a lot has been said about that being the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, in the Greek, is spirit. It doesn't matter if it's Holy Spirit, human spirit. It doesn't matter if it's the wind blowing fiercely. The wind is referred to sometimes as spirit. And so this is not the... Well, you would know that if you think about it. If the Holy Spirit's still bearing fruit, if He's still growing and becoming more and more like God, we're in trouble. Because He's our God on the inside. It's your spirit. He's talking about you walk in the Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit, who's on the inside, who's in the new spirit, your spirit, to guide your behavior, to guide your action, to teach you the Word, to lead you in the way of peace. And then the fruit of peace begins to grow and begins to develop. Now, peace can be multiplied. It can be bigger or lesser. Look at 2 Peter, I believe it is 1:2. Peace grows. You would know that if you thought about it. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Do you see the point of knowledge? Grace and peace are multiplied how? Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. In other words, I have to have knowledge in order to walk by what God has said. Knowledge comes to me by the Spirit. It comes to me by meditation. We talked about that last week. It comes to me by study. Study is when I have an exhaustive study of the facts and the data. I'm accumulating information. Meditation is when I have a thought and I'm just camping and standing in that one thought until I grasp that thought. When I have a CD that blesses me or a DVD that helps me, I listen over and over and over again. That particular sermon I've heard probably 4 times. It helps me. And I'm meditating there. I want the thoughts of that man to grab my heart, to be in my heart. Now I listen to other things. I think, yeah, that was good. And tomorrow it's forgotten. Because we're all different. And you know when somebody comes to you and they say, oh, I love this, I love this, I love it. They're telling you about it and you don't love it and you don't love it. You think, well, that's good. That's fine. Yeah, I'm glad you like that. It's because God sent it to their heart, not to yours. It's okay. Now, we're not going to be disagreeable or unkind. But I don't have to love it just because you loved it either. Meditation is the leading of the Lord, camping you in a spot. Say, get this, Becky, get this. Do you get this? Do you get this? My mother was a great meditator, I'll tell you. She could remember everything. Facts, data, dates. It was amazing. When Mother died, we didn't realize the family history left. We lost our historian. And somebody would say, well, what about? And I said, we should ask Mother, and she's gone. We didn't know anything. Mother knew it all. She remembered it all. But one day, coming around the kitchen, Mother was at the sink doing something. I came around the kitchen, and I caught her talking to herself. And she said, now, that was in 1927, and that was just before the, and that was just after the, and these 4 people were there. And I realized how she was remembering all that. She was a meditator. She was going over it and over and over it, and she was planting it in her spirit. And from her spirit, it invades your mind and becomes a part of your inward being and your mental capacity. And then it begins to work for you. Now, that's what this says. Grace and peace are multiplied through knowledge. Some people don't know enough to walk in peace. And they've never learned to yield to the Spirit, to yield to the Holy Spirit, as He invades the human spirit, as He guides the human spirit, so that peace from God, Jesus' peace, my peace, begins to grow in me. Now, one writer said, and I just loved it, there's no validation of it, except it could be true, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, period, love. And all of these others are an outgrowth or a product of love. Love produces joy. Love produces peace. Love produces long-suffering. Well, if you go and study the scriptures on love, you will see that there is validity to that, especially 1 Corinthians 13, where it's love is long-suffering and kind. And so you can see these fruit could be an outgrowth of love. So I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to stir myself up in the Word. I'm going to grow in knowledge. Colossians 1, in that great prayer that Paul prayed for the church of Colossae, included a line that said that we increase in knowledge. In other words, constantly growing in knowledge. And when Paul said that I might know him, that word know, there's many words know in the Greek. That word know is to increase in knowledge. He was saying, I want to know more tomorrow than I know today. I want to grow in knowledge. I want to expand my horizons about God so I might know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Well, we're going to know now grace is God's provision for you. It's not simply the new birth. Grace is the sum total of all God provided for you. It says through the cross of Romans 8, he's given us all things. Now, how many is all things? Pertaining to life and godliness. So grace is the provision of heaven that brings me all things. Well, if you don't have all things today, then your grace can grow. Because grace wants you to reach for heaven's best, to follow the Spirit and have all things. And all of that comes through knowing more and more and more. You may not, let me show you this in James. Growing in knowledge is going to exponentially increase your peace. The peace that's on the inside, not the peace that's on the outside. Peace on the inside is going to change the outside. The outside, the mind, the vision, is looking at the disturbance. Looking at the letter you got that you don't like. Looking at the checkbook when it doesn't say what you'd like it to say. Listen to the doctor's report. That can disturb our peace. But if we reach down on what's inside, Jesus said, I've given you peace, freedom from disturbance. You don't ever have to be disturbed. You don't have to be agitated. Now in that chapter, he says, let not your heart be troubled. That's the word agitated. You know what he's saying? Get a grip. How are we going to do that? By increasing in knowledge. By increasing in knowledge, by knowing him, by trusting him. Now in James, you should know this. This is just a side lot. Verse 22, chapter 1, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You've got to hear the word. You've got to do something with it. You've got to practice what you know. You've got to increase in knowledge, but knowledge accumulated is not going to put you over. It's knowledge acted upon. You've got to do. And this is really profound, but do is something you do. Is that amazing? Everybody said, oh, I forgot that I meant to do that. Inactivity is not doing. Doing is active. And since we're to hear the word, we're going to increase in knowledge. We're going to let the Spirit feed us. He's feeding the new man, the new creature, this man on the inside that has the capacity because he has eternal life to grow in God. And that's the man that can put you over and be at peace. I was worried years ago. I never will forget it. I've forgotten what I was worried about. I was concerned about something, and what you do, you go over it. She said, and he said, and I said, and then I thought, and they thought, and, you know, and then the next hour you're doing that again, you know, and you're just building a case, building a mountain out of a molehill usually. I was standing at the kitchen sink, and like a helmet came over my head, a helmet of peace. It's so protected. It talks about in the Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation. It so protected my mind that I couldn't get a thought in or out. All the thoughts that had disturbed me were roadblocked by that helmet. It was the most amazing point. I've had it a couple of times since, but not like a helmet. I was even later thought I should be thinking about this. I should go back over this again, make sure I understand this. I couldn't get my thoughts in or out. Totally roadblocked. That's what Scripture promises you, peace beyond understanding. I don't understand that, but it's a promise of the Scripture. Now look at this. Doers, doers, doers. Now look at verse 25. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues. Continues what? Looking. Continues growing. Continues expanding. Continues knowing. When you continue, well, you don't have any problem if I go to answer the door of the telephone. I say, this is an important call. You're eating cake or cookies or whatever. And I say, you just continue in the cake. Anybody here needs an explanation of continuing the cake? Well, continue in the Word. Just continue there. Just camp out there. He said, you look in that, you keep looking. Why? Because it's the law of liberty. Do you see that? Where does freedom come from? Freedom from distress, disturbance, despondency, despair, dread. He being not a forgetful hearer. I know you understand that. But a doer of the work. Now watch this. It doesn't say doer of the word. Where did we start? Be doers of the word. W-O-R-D. Where did we end up? Being doers of the work. W-O-R-K. Because the doers of the work are those who have done the word. If you do the word and you continue in the word, then you're equipped to do the work. Is that amazing? Now look at Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1, it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now you understand they're not reading a book. They don't have a copy of the Bible, so they're just listening. They're listening to the report of Moses. They're listening to the prophets. If you hearken diligently, that word is a unique word in Hebrew. It means you listen very carefully, and once you get it straight, you're going to do something about what you've heard. It means as soon as I understand what you're telling me, I'm going to do something. It's an active word. It's not just a listening word, not just one where you... And hearken diligent means I'm paying really, really close attention. I'm listening with every fiber of my being because I'm going to get this and I'm going to do something about this. That's what that word means. Well, when I work for somebody, especially somebody that's a perfectionist, likes things done exactly, I like to please them and be obedient. Do not like to be rebuked. Do you like that? No, I don't like that. And so what I do, and I made it my habit over the years, is I repeat. Now, you want me to go to so-and-so, and you want me to say so-and-so, but you don't want me to say this. You want me to present it from this angle. I repeat everything they've said to me back to them, just exactly like they said, to make sure I got it. See, I'm hearkening diligently. I'm fixing to do something. Now, they called one day years ago for me to visit a lady in the hospital, and I went. A gentleman, I believe it was a gentleman. And I couldn't, for the life of me, figure out why I was there. You know, So I called back and I said, I went. I don't know why you sent me. And they said the dumbest thing. Do what pastor would do. I said, do you happen to know that pastor and I have never made a hospital visit together? And I don't know what pastor would do. See, I'm out to do, but I don't know what to do. You have to have knowledge in order to do, and I didn't have enough knowledge, though I had heard what they told me. So you've got to hear and determine that the Spirit of the living God on the inside is going to feed me, and when I leave here, I'm going to know something that I can act and I can be a doer of the word, doer of the work. And so he said, sing, Sister Becky, sing. Never will forget it. So I took Wayne the next time. Wayne sings better than I do. And I said, sir, do you have a favorite song? And he said, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. He said, I bet you don't know that one. I said, I bet I do. And we sang. You remember that, Wayne? And we sang. You can't do what you don't know how to do. You got to get instructions. You got to know what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to say. Now it says, hearken diligent. That's the first step in doing. Pay attention here and get your instructions straight. Find out what God had to say. Find out where in the Spirit. The new creature knows. The mind doesn't know unless it's informed by the Spirit. To observe and what? To do. Observe this. Hearken diligently. Hear this. Get this straight. And then go out to do something. Do it. Now, everybody's tried to do something that they don't know how to do. You get a new something, you're going to put it together. I don't know why so many people, let's just be nice, are against instructions in written form. Did I say that right, honey? No, if you just listen to the Spirit of God on the inside, we're going to get out there and do. But first of all, we're going to hear. We're going to observe. It's that way in Joshua 1:8. Look at Joshua. Deuteronomy, Joshua 1, a book over. We read this all the time. I like this verse. It's the same in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do. See, some things we're asked to do are going to take strength and courage. That's what that says. Well, where are we going to get strength? If you're not strong, you're not strong. I can't even open the pickles. or the olives. We're big into olives at our house. But the scripture says the Lord is the strength of my life. See, it's because I've hearkened. That's the 27th Psalm. If you hearken, you know that. Well, you're my strength, Lord. You're my strength today. He said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in Him. Because He's going to help me. That's how I'm going to have courage. I'm going to have His strength. Ephesians 6, Paul says the same thing. He says, be strong in the Lord. He doesn't say, do the best you can. Muster up strength. Flex your muscles. Search your memory. A lady spoke to me and she wanted something and I couldn't think of her name. I try to call people by name and that would be one of my weakest points is remembering who you said you were. And I couldn't remember. I remember it was a short name, 3 or 4 letters, and I thought, well, it must have been Ann or Beth or I thought of every short name and I knew those aren't right. Those aren't right. So I was going around the circular building when it was a circle. And I ran to Susan and I said, you remember that lady that came and talked to me the other day? I said, what was her name? Susan said, I can't remember. So I kept going this way and she's going the other way and I met her on the other side and both of us at the same time remembered what it was, but it wasn't in our mind. It came from the Spirit. It came from in here because the Holy Ghost knew who she was. I wanted to say next time, you know, I'm a good fake. My daughter says I'm the best fake in the market. She said, Mother, who was that? I don't have any idea. I said, I don't know what church they came from. She said, well, how did you respond to that? I said, they wanted to know if I would come teach them sometime. I said, you never know when I'm going to show up. I don't even know show up where. I don't have a clue where they came from. I knew they weren't from here, but where they came from, I don't know. But I can fake it. I can say, hey, sister, how you doing? And you never know. I don't remember your name. But there's someone on the inside that wants me to do better than that, that wants to prompt me. Did you ever learn your multiplication tables? I learned them 3 times, once for myself, once with Joel. I mean, we sat on our front porch and we said, 9 times 6, 54, and 6 times 6, 36, and 7 times 6, 42, and 8 times 3 is 24. We went over them and over and over and over them. And the next year, because they're just over a year apart, I learned them again with Suzanne. Now, I might not remember, so I have to think, 8 and 5, that'd be 13. But you can't fool me with multiplication because I stood there and I camped there and I meditated there and I went over and over and over. I've got the multiplication tables. Now, what I did to improve my memory, this little fella, he's gone to be with the Lord. He had lots of children. So every morning he'd get up and he'd give the full name of his children their birth date. He said, I do that because it helps my mind. You know, your children basically aren't going to leave you if you forget who they are. And so I thought, I'll just add up the numbers on the gas signs. There's 2 numbers there, sometimes 3 numbers. At first passing by, it was too quick. I couldn't add the numbers together. See, you've got to do something. You've got to determine by the Spirit, what is God telling me? What is He teaching me? What can I do? And so I got where I'm really good at that, especially if it's a red light. I can add 3 or 4 numbers in a row. And I was teased when I said, you know, gas here is $5.24. Because I'm adding all the numbers on the sign together. You know how I got so good at that? I'm not perfect, but I'm good. Practice. Kept doing it. If I keep reading and keep meditating, keep hearing. And what is the result of all this hearing and doing? It's peace beyond understanding. Peace is the result. Doing and hearing go together and they blossom into the bouquet of peace. Now, let me show you that again. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou may observe to do. That's why you're meditating. That's why you're concentrating. That's why you're camped out there. You're going to do something. You're going to get it straight, and you're going to do it. Now, look at Proverbs, where we were last week, and let's look again. It's the doing and the hearing that brings peace beyond understanding. If you don't have peace, you're either not hearing or you're not doing what you have heard. And it comes to the inside, to the man on the inside, the Spirit. Now, if you look at chapter 3, my son, forget not my law. Let your heart keep the commandments. In other words, do it. Don't forget it. Do it. 3:1. Here's what happens when I'm doing the commandments. Length of days, that's just for those that say there's not enough hours in the day. There is if you're following God. It's the promise of the scripture. Long life and what? Peace. It's the doing of the word, not forgetting it, doing it, heeding it, that brings peace. You have that same thing. And later in this chapter talks about wisdom and understanding. That's in verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, the man that gets understanding. Goes down, tells you what wisdom will do. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness or delight, and all her paths are what? The path of wisdom is peace. The path of understanding is peace. If I have peace, I have understanding. See, if I know by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and he sent his word and healed me, and this weapon formed against me cannot prosper. And I go over that, and I go over it, and I go over it. What I like to do is take Isaiah 53, and I spend a few days in one translation, and then I move to another translation. I may only do 1 or 2 days in some because I don't like those as well. But I go over it and over and over again. Now, you have in that marvelous chapter, redemptive chapter, it says the chastisement of our peace. That accords with Jesus said, my peace I'm going to give you. The one translation is the chastisement of our peace was upon him. It says, all that was necessary to bring peace to you was provided by Jesus. What a marvelous peace, peace, wonderful peace. Now, peace comes to the hearer and the doer, not just the hearer, not just the doer. You know, everybody's done something. They didn't have quite enough instructions. They didn't do quite enough what they're supposed to do. They just, you know, I'll just show up and do something, tell them I was there and I tried. And but if you're going to do a good job, you're going to get your instructions. You're going to hearken diligently. You're going to observe and listen carefully. And then you're going to reach out to do or to practice. And that promises you is longer days, enough time in a day, long life and peace. Riches, honor. That's a pretty good package deal. And it goes all the way back to hearing the word and doing the word and then expecting God to keep his promise and bring peace. And examining my heart, if there's no peace, there's not anything wrong with God, there's something wrong with me. It's me. We used to sing, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. It's me, it's me, it's me. Or, you know, I don't know why some people are reluctant to admit it's them. I could help if they were listening. I could say, ma'am, this is your fault. I don't usually do that. I try to be nice. Now look at Isaiah. If you don't like this verse in Isaiah, something is wrong with you. This is a phenomenal, phenomenal verse. 48, chapter 48, so we're going to start with verse 17. You sing this, parts of this verse all the time, but you didn't know it, I bet you. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, these instructions we're getting from God himself. This is what God has said. This is how peace comes according to God. I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit. How are you going to profit? Through teaching, through instruction. Through knowing, through hearing. God is going to teach you. He's going to teach you by the Spirit because the Spirit teaches us all things. John 14. Teaches you to profit and leads you by the way that thou shouldest go. We're taught by the Spirit, taught the Word of God, and led in the right direction. And what's going to happen? Oh, that you hearken to my commandments. He's talking to people that heard what God said and didn't do it. They knew what God said, they didn't practice. He said, oh, that thou would have hearkened. In other words, if you would listen carefully and followed my instructions and done what I ask you to do. You know, you do that with a child or maybe a boss that's not as kind as he should be. Said, didn't you hear what I told you to do? See, they had heard, but it hadn't made any difference because they hadn't practiced it. They didn't do anything with what they heard. Now watch this. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. I got peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul. Have you sung that? Did you know it was in here? Peace like a river, does that sound right to you? Does that sound good to you? Our little canal flooded. We've been there 49 years in December. Never has flooded before. 2 years ago it flooded. Now, not our house because we were on higher ground, but the house on the other side was covered with water. This house had water up over the tires of the car, so I'm sure they must have had water. It was a lot of water. We got 6 inches of rain in a very short period of time, and the canal is a canal that connects Lake Parker with Saddle Creek Park. It's a dammed canal, and I guess the gates were open. Maybe they weren't open. I don't know. But anyway, the water flooded everything. Wayne's brother's house flooded. He's on the other end, and he's flooded. Well, that's a lot of water. My sister-in-law is babysitting. They have 8 grandchildren, and she had the 2 babies. Everybody had gone shopping. And her family room is on the opposite end from where the water would have come in down here. And there she's got the little one propped up watching TV, and she's rocking the other one. And she said she kept hearing noises. So there was a flood of water. He said, "You want a flood of knowledge? You just find out what I say and you start practicing, and I'll flood you with peace like a river. I'll drown you in peace." She said she's listening. Finally, she decided, you know, that's a funny sound. So the back end of her house was already underwater. So she called her shoppers and said, y'all really need to come home and rescue us. And of course, they lost a lot of things, had to replace a lot of things, carpet, flooring, all gone. But God allowed them to recover, and to recover quite nicely. And God said, there's a flood of peace for you. There's a flood of peace for you. Do you get that? When he tells you you're not going to live? When he tells you you need surgery? One lady was hysterical over the surgery. Hysterical. I've never dealt with anybody before or since that hysterical. Then I found out it wasn't hospital surgery. It was an office procedure. I had to bite my tongue. Said, lady, because peace comes with knowledge acted on. If there's no knowledge, you haven't got a cry for peace. You've got to have knowledge. You've got to act on that knowledge. You've got to be persuaded that God is true. And peace comes, if you had hearkened to the commandments, you know what God's saying? If you had done what I told you to do, that's what he's saying. If you had done what I told you to do, you'd have peace like a river. Then I want to say, oh, is it too late? Can you tell me that again? Look at Isaiah 26. Peace comes through knowledge, knowledge acted upon. Comes through wisdom. Comes through understanding. Oh, Isaiah 26. Turn to Proverbs. No wonder I didn't see that look right. 26:3. We used to sing this verse. It's actually a song. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Now, how good is perfect? Perfect. Now, the New Testament says peace beyond understanding. I've told you before, there's Granny Smith green, depends on how old you are. There's chartreuse. There's lime green. It's all about the same. Different expressions from different people. Depends on your age, actually, if you even remember chartreuse. But I do remember chartreuse. And you know you're not talking about mint green. You're not talking about emerald green, which is a dark blue green. You're talking about this yellow green. Well, Isaiah called it perfect peace, but Paul called it peace beyond understanding. But let me help you out. If he had perfect peace, it'd be beyond your understanding. If it's beyond your understanding, it had to have been perfect. It isn't two things, it's one thing. He said, I'll keep you, get that, keep you. I can keep you in perfect peace. How's that going to happen? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. He said, if you'll keep your mind on me, keep your mind on me. When you're stayed on something, you're anchored. So you keep your mind stayed. And in the Hebrew also means to lean on something. It means I'm stayed here, I'm leaning here. I'm hanging on here. He said, if you just lean on me, I can keep you in perfect peace, peace beyond understanding. If you lean on me, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. We used to sing that all the time. You ever sung that? Your musical education is sad. It is really sad. And I can't sing well enough to help you. Trust in the Lord forever. Where did that trust come from? Keeping our mind on him. Well, the mind doesn't even know him without the intervention of the Spirit. Now turn to Romans 8. There's so much proof of this. You don't have to be disturbed, distressed, uptight, strung out. You don't have to be harassed and tormented and unanchored. I found out the day I said, well, if I die, I die. That solved 99% of every problem I've ever had over all these decades. That's it. I solved that. If I die, I die. Everybody dies. Death is a part of living. Never have had any struggle in about 25 categories after that. Because I settled that. I kept my mind stayed on Him. Now, Romans 8:6. If you be carnally minded as death, the carnality is of flesh. You know carnivores are meat-eating animals. Carnally minded, that's my flesh and my mind working together. You are spirit, soul, and body. That's your body and your mind working together. Your mind getting its information from the body. And all the body knows is what it sees and how it feels and what it hears. The carnal mind is not hearing from God. In fact, the next verse it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. The translators say the carnal mind is hostile to God. That's why the scripture says the flesh has to be crucified. It doesn't hear from God. It can't hear from God. It's not going to give you the right information. If you're going to hearken diligently to your body, you're going to make mistake after mistake after mistake, and you're going to be full of despondency. You're going to be agitated and stressed out. But if I say, what did you say, God? I have to meditate it. I have to go over it, over it, and over it. I don't care how many times I've heard it, even how many times I've taught it. Because thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. I got peace like a river. Where's it come from? Hearing and doing the word of the living God. And when you hear, how are you going to understand? By the Spirit. To carnally minded is death. But look at the next part of that verse. To be spiritually minded, life and peace. Where does peace come from? That's when my mind and my spirit being are functioning together. My mind is renewed, are saved, and it prospers because it knows the Word of God. It has inspiration that comes from the Spirit, which got that information from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so works in me that I produce peace as a fruit in my spirit. I'm the fruit bearer. I said, how do you know that? I know that from John 15. She said, I'm the branch, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Where's the fruits on the branch? Very clear from that passage. You're the one that's supposed to be fruity. But you're fruity because of the influence of the Word and the Spirit in you. And because you're allowing that Word to dominate your life. Spiritually minded, life and peace. The spiritual mind, well, the spiritual mind has to have knowledge. If you're dumber than a brick, we wouldn't say you had much of a spiritual mind. Somebody asked me about a book in the Bible, and I could tell they were trying to remember something, and I helped them. I remembered. I knew where they were headed, and then they said, do we know who wrote that? I said, the Apostle Paul. They went, oh, right, yeah, I guess, probably so. I said, absolutely so. I tried to be really nice, but they didn't have a spiritual mind. They didn't know anything. But we're not critical. You know how long it takes to mature? I just found this out. Listen by teaching tape. I love this. This is a tidbit. Don't even write this down. This man said it takes 5 years to be a mature Christian. 5 years. He said, I guess you want to know. He preached a fine sermon, too. He said, I guess you want to know how I knew that. He said, because Paul established the church of Corinth, and 5 years later, he comes back to them and said, you ought to have grown up. He gave them 5 years, and he thought in 5 years they ought to know something. That means the bulk of us should be really, really smart by now. Don't you see that? I loved that. I love that. We can't keep leaning on it's a difficult book. It's a lot to read. I'm not a very good reader. You better find a plan, and the plan that works for you might not be the plan that works for me. I know all kinds of plans that people use successfully, some that I couldn't do. Read my Bible through? You got to be kidding. I've never read my Bible through. Meditators aren't inclined to read the Bible through. I read Isaiah. I read it three times, I believe it was. And then I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? They're very systematic, very programmed. It works for them. I'm not systematic. I say, Lord, where are we? You know what I'm fixing to do? Ecclesiastes. I know it right in here. Ecclesiastes has 12 chapters. I'm writing down Hebrews. I'm going directly from Hebrews to Ecclesiastes. That works for me. That doesn't mean that's the plan for you, but you better have a plan. You better do something. Because you're going to have a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind. Carnal mind knows what's on TV. They know what the neighbors are fighting about. I got peace like a river. Where'd you get it? I got it from God the day I became a doer of the word. And twice that I remember, once at the sink and once for a medical procedure, I was as flatlined and as unemotional. I was just gone. I thought, isn't this wonderful? And then somebody came along and said, you better remember the details there. And I tried to reach out and grab the details and I couldn't find them. Because peace was, that is, I want you to see peace can be multiplied. It's bigger than you've ever felt or sensed. It's not just this big, it's huge. Now look at Romans 15, verse 13. It says, thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Where does peace come from? Believing. You know Romans 10. How can they believe in what they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? Joy and peace come through what? Believing. But you got to hear in order to believe. You got to hear in order to do. You got to hear. Where's peace come from? Now, God is called the God of peace in many scriptures. Here he's called the God of hope. He's called the God of peace. It says the God of peace will place Satan under your feet shortly. God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. A lot of scriptures refer to him as the God of peace. Now, Jesus was the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace, but in Romans 10, this great gospel is called the gospel of peace. The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace, according to Luke 2, to declare peace on earth to all those who believe. I'll run you those scriptures. I happen to have them right here. The God of peace, Hebrews 13:20, Romans 15:33, Romans 16:20, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6, Ephesians 2:14, Gospel of Peace, Romans 10:15, Ephesians 6:15. Peace for the world, Luke 1:79, Luke 2:14. And that peace is for everybody that believes, right here. Now, here's the summary. Get this. The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace to declare peace on earth to all those who would believe. You get that? It's a very simple plan. You hear, you do, you practice, you hearken, you observe, you work, you study, you meditate, and you trust. Trust, believe. Trust and obey. Now let me show you Galatians 6, I believe it is. To be happy in Jesus. Verse 15 and 16. Now watch this. In Christ Jesus, that's as a Christian, through his death and resurrection. Neither circumcision avails anything, neither uncircumcision, but the new creature. The word avail is that which prevails, that which dominates, that which brings victory, that which puts you over. Circumcision was a sign that you followed all the rules and regulations of the law. And it says, anymore, that's not going to avail, that's not going to prevail, that's not going to bring victory. Victory comes through what? What does it say avails? Where does it say victory is? The new creature. And who's in the new creature? Holy Ghost. And who's teaching me? Holy Ghost. And who's learning? My spirit's learning from the Holy Ghost. And who's producing the fruit of peace? My spirit's producing peace because it's become a doer of what it's being taught. And then you go to the next verse and it says, as many as walk according to this rule, what rule? The rule of the new creature. The rule of the law of life in Christ Jesus. Peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. Where does peace come from? Walking in the new creature. Being dominated by the new creature. Well, the new creature is not supposed to be dumb. It's supposed to be growing all the time. It's supposed to know more. Paul told, that's a matter of debate, but in the book of Hebrews, which may or may not have been written by Paul, some say it was, some say it wasn't. But he said to the group he's addressing, you ought to be teachers. So you ought to, see, he thought they knew enough, laid enough of foundation, had heard enough, that they ought to be able to at least share on a primary level the things that they knew. He said, you ought to be teachers. He said, you have need of milk and not meat. He said, I can't feed you the deeper truths of God because you've never done what I instructed you, the elementary principles, chapter 6, he names the elementary principles, repentance, judgment, and several other things. He names all those, and he said, you've heard all that. You heard all that. You heard all that. And you're still babies, and you ought to be teachers. That doesn't mean you're professional teachers. That means on a certain level, I can answer questions. I can help you. Now, a little lady came to me. Somebody had asked her a question she couldn't answer, and she said, we're going to go down and ask Sister Beck. It was a very simple question. I appreciate the fact that she came. On an elementary level, it was a very elementary question. She should have known that. But I appreciate the fact she didn't give up and quit. She said, we're going to go down here and find an answer, and I did know. Well, if you don't know the answer to that, you just got born again yesterday. I'm just telling you, that's the kind of question it was. But she didn't know it. See, are you going to have peace beyond understanding? Like a river? Like a flood? Now the songwriters got this all together. I happened to think of this. I didn't think of it. It came to me in spirit. This is from the music. My dad's a musician, as you know. There's peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. There's an anchor. There's a rock to cast my faith upon. Who's the rock? His name is Jesus. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of this storm. There's peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. There's an anchor, there's a rock to cast my faith upon. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. Is that amazing? The disciples had a storm, and they didn't have peace at all. And they woke Jesus up, and they said, we're going to die! King James says, carest thou not that I perish? That means we're going to die. They didn't have peace at all. But they hadn't tapped into the master that walked by their side. The one who said, peace be still, and peace came. See, if you don't have peace, now we may get shook up temporarily. We hear things medically that we don't want to hear. I'm not one who wants to know every detail of every procedure. I don't want to know every detail of anything. I just check on the inside. Am I doing that or I'm not doing that? I don't hesitate to say I'm not, but I don't hesitate to say I will either. And I don't hesitate to say I'll have to pray about it and let you know. And they look at it, they go, because if I'm to ride out this storm, if you have a storm in your life of any dimension, if you're going to ride out that storm and stand successfully on shore, you have got to know what God said. You've got to walk in what God said. You've got to trust Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you raise your hand to heaven in joy, in believing. Peace believes and say, I've got peace in the midst of this storm of life. I have an anchor. I have a rock to cast my faith upon. It's amazing how the Spirit brings that back. I was raised in the hymnal. I knew more hymns than I did scripture for decades. And the Holy Ghost, see, and that's the same Holy Ghost that's going to teach you. The same Holy Ghost that's going to bring things to your remembrance. That's going to instruct you. There's someone on the inside. He's not going to hang around while you say, I'm going under. He's going to go, I told her. Thank God for His mercy. Some of us have been dead already if it wasn't for mercy. Stand to your feet and let's shout.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for peace beyond understanding. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Peace like a river. Teach us, our Father. Teach us your word. Bring instruction, knowledge, information. We're listening to the Spirit. We want to grow. We want to know. We want to do. We want to be. And we're leaning. We're leaning. Our mind is stayed on thee. We're leaning on you. Leaning on you. We're not carnally minded. We recognize the flesh. We're not being led of the flesh. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.